as encouraged this morning as I was encouraged of you to tell the congregation the first thing to my eyes and to my heart, trust in the Lord always. And Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee. Oh, how I prove thee o'er and o'er. Oh, my Jesus, precious Jesus, and by your grace, we are going to trust you more. We thank you, Lord, and what a perfect God with perfect love, with perfect favor. Oh, how you pursue us in your perfect grace. Lord, we're so thankful today to be privileged, to be quickened, to praise you and thank you and give you all the honor, all the glory, all the thanksgiving. Lord, increase that in each and every life here today. And oh, what a happy people we will be. We thank you. We look to you. May you be magnified. And thank you again for the opportunity to know more about you and your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. We're going to start today in Psalm 139. And thank God again for all of this wonderful witness we have. And it's always in his word. Praise be to God. But in Psalm 139, David is just beside himself. And he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of your thoughts to me, O God. If I should count the thoughts to me, O God, the sum of them, they are more in number than the sand. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of sand. And yet God and his love to us and his thoughts for us, it's more than the sand. And I'm telling you, if he would have just said to me, you know, son, pick up a handful of sand and say, that's how many thoughts I have to you and have for you, I'd just be pretty amazed. I'd say, wow. Jesus, you love me. Because, you know, I had to go and look about this sand thing because I wanted to see what he might be really talking about. And if you just picked up one handful of sand, by the way, do you know there's over 40,000 grains of sand in that handful? Now, really, I got my sweet wife sitting out there, and I'll tell you, I do adore her by the grace of God, and I'm so thankful for her. But if I have half of those thoughts in that handful of sand for her, that'd be pretty amazing. If I had a quarter of those thoughts, you know, 10,000, and I didn't duplicate it, that'd be pretty good, huh? But you know, this is our God, and I'm telling you, he said, I love you more than all the sand. And you know, they did a quick figure about all the sand. Now, you've got to remember, we're talking about all the sand in the desert. We're talking about all the sand in the ocean. We're talking about all the sand on the beaches. And they said, if we could have all that sand, that number, they say, is probably 500 quintillion, 400 quadrillion. Now, we have some pretty smart people over on the right side of the church over here. But I know they ain't that smart. And I'm going to tell you something. That number is like about 780 followed by 18 zeros. But the neat thing about sand, believe it or not, is it's always multiplying too. Did you know that? Because the wind on the rock and all those things, sand keeps multiplying. Now, but get this. The Lord then goes on to tell you that his thoughts toward you are higher than the heavens. And you can interpret that in many different ways, but really one of the interpretations of it is just the vastness of our universe. And we've talked about it a lot of times. You know, our great scientists, you know, the smart people that are really, really smart, that a lot of times don't even come to this church. I'm just teasing. God's got to control me today. Really control me today. By the love of God, constrain me. But, you know, there was one of the smartest guys, and he said, everything that we know, life, whatever it would be, increases at a decreasing rate, just like us. I know we like to think that
we are just inevitable, whatever, but you're inevitable to decrease, okay? Usually, people on the front row really get that, you know. I'm just teasing that. Pastor's understanding it very well. But they looked into the universe and they figured out, you know what? There's something really interesting here. Because this universe is increasing at an increasing rate. They can't understand it. It just keeps, because God spoke it. And that's what happened. God spoke it, okay? Now, getting back to those stars that are there, did you know that if they asked the question, they said, well, is there more sand or are there more stars? Is the vastness of God's thoughts more than just the sand or more than the stars? Well, they kind of looked out there and they said, you know what? And you got to think about this. This was written, what, you know, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, whatever, you know, with this. And, you know, when you looked up into the heavens at that time, you'd say, no, why are they saying the sands? Because you could look at all the sand on the beach and everything, or in a desert, and you say, my goodness, there's got to be more sand than them stars. Why would they say the stars? Well, now that they've been able to look out there, they know that there's at least 10 times more stars than there are sand upon this earth. But they know that they ain't looking at everything. And they know that what they're looking at just keeps increasing. Are you kind of starting to get a little bit? Now let's bring it back to what the beauty of it all is. My thoughts to you are more than that. Come on now. My thoughts to you are more than that. I want you to think about that again. My thoughts to you, about you. What else? What else could I need? What else could I want? My thoughts to you are more than that. Now, let's go over and rejoice in the glory and the incredible intent of the power of those love thoughts to you. And we're going over to Jeremiah chapter 29. In Jeremiah 29, it says in the 11th verse, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." See, God just doesn't have these thoughts. He knows those thoughts. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." To give you an expected end. What this is saying here is his thoughts for us are to complete us. His thoughts, and again, more than the stars in heaven thought, more than the sand of the sea thoughts, are to fully finish us. And his thoughts to you are not evil. They're not for misery and they're not for unhappiness. Okay, let's hear that again. His thoughts to you are not for misery and unhappiness. That trial that I am in and you're in right now is not for misery or for unhappiness. But it's for peace. And it's for rest. And it's for confidence in Him. And it's thoughts to provide you the things hoped for your end. That's exactly what that means. His innumerable, ever-expanding thoughts are to complete in me the things hoped for every event, every conclusion of everything in my life. That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, believe it or not, this is for every single event in your life, no matter how small you think it is. His promise is that he will deliver the things hoped for in every event. Now listen to that. He's going to deliver the things hoped for in every event. Now I know you might roll your eyes and say, well, wait a second, brother. I've hoped for a lot of things in my life, but those things didn't come true. Those things didn't come to pass. And I'm just going to say, now wait a second here. We got to understand what the things hoped for are according to the Word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now remember that. That expected end of what we read in Jeremiah, that is interpreted the things hoped for in your life. The things hoped for. All right? Here's what things hoped for are in your life. 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So yes, the things hoped for is faith. Praise God. And specifically, by the grace of God, your faith. Amen? And know this, brothers and sisters, once again, faith is the word of God. Faith is the word of God and nothing else. Faith isn't some other belief. Faith isn't some other hope that you have about something. Faith isn't something that you're putting your confidence apart from God. As it tells us in Ephesians 4:3, there is but one faith. There's but one faith. There's a lot of beliefs. There's a lot of religions. But it says there is one faith, and that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, the Word. The Word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when my hoped for things are according to the Word of God, listen to that again. When your hoped for things are according to the Word of God, they're coming. They ain't stopping. It's going to be. Yes, because His Word is yea and amen. It is impossible for God to lie. And you stand on the promises of God, call those things which be not as though they were, and you'll see the glory of the Lord. Praise God. Know it. See, the Word, brothers and sisters, is His mind. The Word of God is His mind. And the Word of God tells you, let this mind, let His mind, the Word, be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. See, I don't want to think with any other mind. Why do I want to think with my mind? And I certainly don't want to think with your mind. And I certainly don't want to think with man's mind. Come on. I want to think with His mind. And when I think with His mind, praise be to God, I have a for sure end in every event I'm ever going to face. Hallelujah. It's for sure. It's assured. And I'm sensing a little bit of unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. Things hoped for is faith. Things hoped for is that substance. Things hoped for is the evidence. And I'm going to tell you something. And it ain't seen. It's not stuff you're going to see. But the faith is the faith in the Word of God. And it will be. Praise be to God. Now, most importantly, His thoughts are to complete in me the things hoped for my everlasting. Amen. I'm so thankful that I can have these things in my life according to His Word. I know, as the brother sang, and as we've been hearing the Word of God, the Lord's going to prevail. My enemies aren't going to prevail. That ain't going to happen. God will do it. God will do it. In due time, He'll exalt you. Yeah, you're going to suffer for a while. Amen. But in due time, He's going to exalt you. He said the way of escape has already been made. He doesn't have to work on it. It's already done. Every escape for every situation. Remember, those thoughts towards you are more than all the sand and all the stars. More vast than this ever-increasing universe. So you know what? He's got you covered. It's called His blood. Amen. So we know for certain that His hand is upon us, He goes before us, and He's behind us. Amen. I've heard people say before, well, you know, the armor of the Lord, it just protects the front part of you. What a nut. Don't go there. Don't be like that. Let me tell you something. That's why He reminds you, when you believe not. Because you know what, Christian? You will believe not. There'll be times you won't believe. There'll be times your faith, yes, you won't have it. You won't believe. It'll be right there for you, but you won't believe. Remember yesterday? How about this morning?
How about when you sat in here and said, well, I'm thankful I'm in church. Even when I believe not, he abides faithful. He abides faithful. He can't deny himself. I love that in so many ways, but the greatest thing that he can't deny is he can't deny his life in you. See, when you accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, it said you died. You died. That's why we baptize. That's why we baptize. It's wonderful. See, you've died with him. That's why you go under and whoop, there you are. You're raised. But it's in his life. It's in the newness of life. It's in the new man. Old things, all things, that's passed away. All things have become new. They've been made new. New in him. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We rejoice. But see, most importantly, his thoughts are to complete in me the things hoped for my everlasting. And I want you to know this for certain, brothers and sisters. His thoughts to me, his thoughts to you, his thoughts for every child of God are the same. They're all the same. Oh, come on now. I've met people, well, you know, God, you know, I'm his favorite. No, you're not. You're not. I'm not. But we're all highly favored. He loves his sons the same. And his thoughts and all them thoughts are the same for every child of God. You've got to understand this. See, he wants every child, every son, to be fully grown. He wants every son not you just to be an heir. He wants you to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning and glorified together with him. But you know what's going to happen? Not all sons. Matter of fact, most sons won't grow into this. And you know why? They won't grow into this because the things hoped for in their lives are so far below what he's provided. That's the truth. You think about what we, in a sense, what our hoped for things are. My hoped for things are is what? My kids to get a really good education, that I have a bank account that I can retire. When am I going to retire? When am I going to retire? That I can have a house. That those are my things hoped for. Let me tell you something. All that stuff right there is temporal. It's temporal. That's all a temporal thing. The only thing eternal is the things hoped for. The Word of God. That's eternal. That's forever. And that's the issue with the sons of God. That's why they don't grow up. That's why they don't grow up into him in all things. That's why they remain as children. Because all they feed on most of the time is milk. They don't want the strong meat. They want sensation. They want things that are going to, in a way, I guess, make them ecstatic about something for a while. They don't want to get in and maybe study the Word of God. Huh? You know, and I appreciate how Brother Hill would say it often. He said, you know what? If you were really born to some rich parents, just rich, 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 rich. And here you go, you get to be about 24, 25 or whatever, or you know, maybe it was even 18. And let's say, unfortunately, your mom and dad died. And here you were, you're the heir of it, okay? And don't you think you might want to know how much you have? Maybe what you have? Maybe what you could enjoy? Maybe the benefits and all of these different things that these parents had maybe worked very hard at, or maybe it was a grandparent that passed all of it down? You'd say, yes, I would want to know what my inheritance is. I would want to know what's in that bank account. I would want to know, my goodness, you're telling me that it's full and that you mean I can never exhaust this bank account? You mean that this bank account is full and flowing and over and over and over and over? Yes, that's the bank account of God for his sons. But see, people, really, here you are, the aristocracy of the universe. Really, it's so true. But we live like paupers in the things of God because we don't know the Word of God. We don't know our promises. We don't know our inheritance. We don't know our riches. And again, that is a son who is living far below what God was offering for the things hoped for in your life. See, God meets us with the measure of faith that we have. God meets us with what is hoped for in our hearts. Now I'm going to cut to the chase. What is your faith, and what is that you are hoping for in this word to be completed in you? What is it in this word that you're hoping for to be completed in you? Did you know there was a precious soldier, there was a precious sister in the Word of God that Jesus said, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Love that. Did you hear that again? As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Amen. Well, Lord, I believe. Isn't that wonderful? I told you about that precious cousin I have back there. Just a sweet man, just a farmer, simple and all that. He said, you know, I heard about that gospel, about how Jesus died for me and everything. And you know, I said, you know what? I need that. And bang, I was saved. Said, I just asked Jesus to come in my heart. I don't need to do anything. It says, Lord, call upon the name of the Lord. Believe that you died for me and took away my sin. Come into my life, Jesus, and you'll be saved. Yes, I'm saved. Praise God. But then he said, you know, I was a happy guy. I had salvation. All of this was wonderful. But then, you know, I got to hear more and more about the Word of God. And then I heard about this Holy Ghost. Can you imagine that? There was all them disciples. Jesus had been with them 3.5 years. And there Jesus said, you know what, brothers, I love you so much, but the plan of God is so much more to tell you, so much more that you would know. But I can't tell you knuckleheads anything right now because you don't have the power to understand what I want to tell you. You don't even have the power to believe what I'm going to tell you. And you need to know this for yourself, brothers and sisters. You have to, and by the grace of God, to rejoice in. That's why Jesus said, I must go. I must ascend unto my Father. And the reason was to send you the Holy Ghost. He said, he's been with you, and he shall be in you. There is that power. Praise be to God. And that was that sweet cousin. He said, well, I heard about this Holy Ghost. You mean the Lord has sent the Holy Ghost? I don't have to call for the Holy Ghost out of heaven. No, he sent the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is here. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to beg. I don't have to plead. I don't have to do anything like that. I just have to believe. And praise be to God. And believe him and trust him. He'll fill me with the Holy Ghost. And he says, bang, I was filled and I was speaking in another tongue. And he said, oh my goodness. My joy as a Christian went from about here. I can't even tell you where it went to. But then, it was amazing because the Lord settled me down and said, you know what, I want to know more about this Lord. Because see what the Holy Ghost does is he gets that love of God and it sheds abroad in your heart. And when you really fall in love with somebody, you know what happens? You want to be with them. You know, I didn't tell my wife, you know what, I want to marry you, honey, and all of this, but we're never going to live together. Just ain't going to work. But I love you and we're going to get married, but we're going to live apart, you know. You'd say, well, what do you mean by that? No, when you really love, you want to get together. You want to know somebody. You want to be with them. You want to grow with them. You want to grow in that oneness with them. Amen? See, and that's how the Lord is, and that's what the Holy Ghost does. He gets to stirring that up. And then, as my sweet cousin said, he said, you know, I started hearing about this bridal message. I started to hear about, you know, this, you know, I'm an heir of God as a child of God, but you know what? I can be a joint heir with Jesus Christ as husband and wife. It says that in the Word of God. It does. It says it all over the Word of God. But it's so wonderful. But you're not going to get that until you really understand about Paul's gospel. Those precious, wonderful scriptures in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Romans and all of that. Once you start to get into that, I'll tell you, it just grows and grows and grows. And that's what my cousin said. And then I heard the proposal to my heart individually. Now, brothers and sisters, this is exactly what this is. What is it? What is it that you're hoping for to be completed in you? Because as you believe, that's what's going to be done unto you. And you have to understand this. We are supplied to win it all. We have been supplied with all grace. Do you know that? All grace. Not some grace, not just parts of grace, not just if you're good you get grace, you just got grace. And you have not just got grace, you have all grace. And you have it always, for all sufficiency, in all things, to superabound in every single good work. So we are endued with everything, with every bit of grace to win him. But by grace, our expectation must be to win him. It must be to win him. I'm not shy. By the grace of God, I understand I haven't apprehended that yet. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm trusting grace to apprehend him for me. I'm trusting grace by the grace of God that he's going to do it. That I am highly favored, that I am his workmanship, that I am my beloved's and his desire is to me. And as the Word of God says, he will perform the good work which he's begun in me. So, what is your expected end? Better put, what is your expected final event? I like that. What's your expected final event?
You know, I talk to a lot of people and a lot of sweet Christians. Well, I'm going to die and go to heaven. And no, I don't want to just die. I just kind of want to go to sleep. No suffering, you know, just kind of sleep. Wake up and there's Jesus. Good thing, huh? Amen. Oh, yes. But really, you know, what is your expected final event? Yeah, getting into heaven. I talk to some people and they say, oh, standing on that golden shore. Oh, yes. Singing, even with a palm in my hand, waving it. Oh, salvation to my God. That's all good stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. How about an event? How about an event? An event. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to meet him in the air. How about an event? And God help us, because this is the event you've been encouraged in the Word of God ever since you've been coming in these doors. How about the event of ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus? How about the event, by the grace of God, to be glorified together with him? Huh? Is that what the abounding of things hoped for is in your life? Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, really, honestly, any life that's here today, this is no accident. If this bridal message isn't the abounding hope, the thing hoped for in my life, I missed it. I missed it. Listen to that. This is why God just didn't wrap it up at the cross, in a sense of saying, well, it is finished, but there's no more. We can just all be saved and go to heaven. No. That's when it all really, really, really began. The age, praise God, the church age. The age that God said, I'm seeking a wife for my son. Isn't that amazing? And here we are. And here it is. And he has sent. He has sent the Holy Ghost. Go read Genesis 24. You know, people say, well, where is this bridal mess? It's all over. But Genesis 24 is really, really, really clear. It is. It's amazing. He sends the servant. And that servant is told, go find my son a wife. And he says to him, don't go find my son a wife out in the world. He says, you go find my son a wife out from my people. Out from my people. You're going to find my son, his wife, out from the people of God. Isn't that awesome? See, most of the people aren't hearing this. But there's a certain people that he met at a well. And he said, oh, I'm telling you, my master, he's looking for a wife for his son. And I'll tell you what, here's the earrings and here's the bracelets. And I'll tell you all about him. And before it was nighttime, she was ready to go. And you know that, and I'm telling you, the servant said, we don't have time to wait. You don't have time for goodbyes. See, we don't have time for that. Just go. Amen. It's just go. So, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you what, if that's not our abounding, there's a Holy Ghost fullness lacking. It's the truth. It's the truth. We need more abounding in that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm so thankful to God by his grace. I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to miss that by the grace of God. It's the only hope. It's the only hope I have. It's the only hope I have. Oh, yes. And it's the only hope there is. So you know what? Let's just keep hearing it. Amen? Oh, yes. And let's keep getting it. Because that's how faith comes, doesn't it? Faith comes. And it says, given the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time you let them slip. Now you understand the faithfulness of God. When you come into this place, you're going to hear this. And you're going to hear this. And you're going to hear this. And you know what this is? It's Paul's gospel. And you keep hearing Paul's gospel. And you keep hearing Paul's gospel. And those that might be out here today and you're kind of thinking, what is this guy talking about? Keep hearing Paul's gospel. Keep hearing Paul's gospel. You keep coming here. I'm not looking for bodies. He's looking for a wife. He's called me by the grace of God. He says, preach this, son. Preach the whole counsel of God. Get it out there. Let people hear this. I'll make the move on them. You plant, you water, I'll give the increase. And you keep hearing this, and you keep hearing Paul's gospel, and I'll tell you what, you'll be abounding in the depths of the things hoped for in no time flat. Amen. Oh, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus. Amen.
With all your heart, lean not into your own understanding.
Oh, yes.
In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct you in the path.
Oh, yes. Praise God. While every head is bowed, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the full assurance of faith in believing that only your grace can, again, cause us to draw near to you. Lord, we've heard your word. Thank you for that word. Thank you again that we just take the cup of salvation and we drink. Lord, you're the one, again, that is for us. And if you be for us, who could be against us? And I know, praise God, that your love for us, oh my, such thoughts that exceed any number that we could ever imagine. Thank you for loving us like that, Father. Thank you for all of that love in your Son. And it's in his name we give you all the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.